comfortable.
Color coded and whatnot.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Okay, yeah, that, you know.
It's still in development.
It was just more to get to what she do it, like type shit. Like, what'd you do to show?
Like a competition. So, I'm thinking like, the way AI is going, I wrote one. But it's not good. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
But for us, it wouldn't be good. Because the more you use artificial intelligence, the better it gets, right?
Yeah, the smarter it learns.
So, I was sitting up there like, okay, you had these political comedians in the 60s. Then it became like storytelling.
Yeah.
Then it became very blue. In the 90s, it was wild.
Yeah.
In the 2000s, it was like quirky to me. And then it became social media.
Yeah.
Virtual reality is next. You're not going to even have a comedian who's ever touched the stage before.
Yeah.
Ever experienced what a traditional comedian went through, what a social media. Because social media comedians still have to go do stand-up. Not the virtual one. Eventually, eventually they'll be sitting at home with their virtual glasses on, sending in a prompt of what kind of joke they might want to tell. Like, say a joke about three comedians doing a podcast, one black, one white, and one gay. And then eventually, which one, the gay one? No.
I was doing the math really quick, just making.
But it's artificial intelligence, right? So, it's a competition show. Are you funnier than AI? But
I see what you mean.
Of course, we have to fast forward the technology to make it good for TV.
Bro, let me tell you what I want out of AI. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how AI learns as you go?
Yeah.
I want them to apply
You can hear me? Okay.
I want them to apply that shit, but I want them to apply it to like the porn industry. Like, I want my computer to be watching the porn I'm watching to learn the shit that I like, so it can be like, no, this the video you need to see.
This is hilarious.
You could save me so much clicking if you had a properly written AI that's like, all right, fuck what you searching, I know what you actually want to see.
It's gonna get like that.
That's gonna be the golden age. It's gonna save me hours a night. Like,
virtual reality about to take them social media comedians out the box.
Virtual reality hookers.
I'm gonna ask how does it feel.
That's gonna be the problem with sex robots is like,
because that makes sense.
You just can't stick your dick in something that can malfunction and crush your dick. Like, you got to be so sure that the robots have been properly built. And not only that, you don't want to be the second guy to fuck a robot sex worker because that's gross. But you also don't want to be the first one to test it out.
He went to sex workers because eventually sometimes comedians hook up. And if these are artificial comedians, then also we have Road Snatch.
That's funny.
I'm just saying, if there's open mic AI, I assume it's going to fuck as much as open mic comics.
It is.
That's fucking crazy how far we've come.
It's going further.
I think AI went back in time and gave us AI.
No, I believe that
That's
too.
What I feel.
There's got to be a better use of time travel than that.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's
like
perfect.
That's the best they could bring back.
It was like, all right, you know what? We need AI got so smart in the future to where it's like... We need to go back and instill ourselves earlier.
Oh, shit.
We need to go and advance our development faster.
Way faster. Because we barely at your Kia can park itself.
Yeah, like that's
about where we've peaked as far as like the AI technology is. We've got self-driving cars kind of sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Once it gets to the point where it's networked in to where it's...
It's going to be like that.
It's going to be a Terminator move around.
It's going to get to the point to where your car is linked to your debit card, to where you drive by a gas pump and the shit just pop out and fill it and deduct from your account without you even getting the fuck out your car.
That's fucking crazy.
It is going to happen. Like I said, it's not going to be stand-up comedian no more.
Yeah.
It's going to be a dude or a chick sitting at home like...
I think there will be a stand-up comedian in the same sense that there's always...
It'll be a surrogate.
Yeah. It's not a surrogate. It's the same principle as like there's always going to be people performing live music because no matter how often you record, live music sounds different.
I totally agree with that. Like,
there's always going to be traditional stand-up in the sense that there's a thing about a comic and a crowd and that moment you create that can't be machine replicated. It's the whole night out experience.
As time progresses, the machine will look human.
It's the same thing as like movies.
We won't know.
It's movies didn't replace stage theater.
No, not at all.
It pushed it into a margin, and that could very well happen to live stand-up. But there's always going to be an avenue for the purist.
Because well, how long would you know, like, it's going to be a news break with one of the biggest comedians in the world come to find out he's a fucking robot. He's a robot. They got hurt in an accident. All the Hollywood shit going to happen to him. They got a girl pregnant, and it comes out it was Bruce Willis' daughter or some shit. Like, it's going to be normal shit to somebody throw some rock on their motherfucker. take that.
Nah, it's going the comic going to get away with it until Will Smith come on stage and hit him, and all of a sudden his hand just break because it's metal.
Art imitating life. Fuck, I robot my ass, Will.
Fucking comics fighting back.
It might be Kevin Hart already.
You know, with the little
we got to test it out. Huh?
If you was gonna build a robot comic, it would be more energy efficient to build a small one than it would be to build a big one. You know what I'm saying? It gotta take less batteries to power Kevin Hart than it do to power Earthquake, don't it?
Right. Oh my mama. Oh, shit.
That's just science. This is a common Earthquake sense. Like the diesel version of robot comics. You gotta strap that bitch to
diesel.
It costs a little more.
That's it costs a little shit. Extra, him but it take you for
him and Bruce.
I will say, Earthquake for my money said the funniest four words that have ever been said in any movie ever.
Earthquake
did a cameo in Clerks 2 where they standing in a restaurant and the clerk say some racial slurs and Wanda Sykes trying to storm out without the food and Earthquake trying to take the food and she make him leave it and the last thing he say before he leave the restaurant, "You can't taste racism, baby."
You can't taste racism?
Oh, shit. Bro, that's great. The hardest I've ever laughed in a movie theater.
Keisha, goldfish on the glass.
Oh, that was funny.
Earthquake.
He said that?
Yes.
We had that talk earlier tonight.
I went home and I was
like, now that you said that.
It was on his last special.
Yep.
He said that shit loud as day.
You can't taste racism.
We don't have the interspersed clip budget yet. Yeah. That's more of a season 3 project.
It's coming.
You pointing to a green screen. Keisha pointing to a green screen I ain't bought yet.
Baby, you can't taste racism.
Disney right kids got virtual.
Dropped off right there just to where you can be like, and oh, this is Big Baby on stage, and this is the Earthquake clip.
Some 3D laser shit. What do they call that?
And now a message from our sponsors, iRobot Comics.
iRobot Comics.
That's hilarious. We need to bring Mark and Mindy back.
I will say, like, I remember during the pandemic, the conversations we was having about virtual comedy clubs and the direction. You've been on that for a minute. Like, in a lot of the things you said, like, oh, people ain't going to be able to go outside. We're going to have to adapt. Like
I came up with a whole app, remember?
I remember. And, like, I'm seeing, like, comics in San Antonio, like Al Gonzalez, do that virtual reality headset stuff the like, same way you was on. Like, if you'd have had...
Even the selfie, even the shit just Nisha's doing. I'm like, you could do it. It was just crazy.
If you'd have had three Asian programmers during COVID, you would have been right there with them motherfuckers right there on the software.
I did try, but it got too expensive. So I was like, you know what? This app is not really good.
It's like, nah.
I want to tell you what the app is. I know, Ben, I told you several times. I don't know how this works with, like, I would ever have the money or something. I will.
Yeah.
You speak into existence more than anyone else I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I'm going to get that app because that app crazy.
Yeah.
You be on Facebook every day. You're going to say two things.
Yep.
You're going to say King. God is King. You're going to say I, Keisha Hunt, am a multi-millionaire.
I'm going to say that shit every day, when I get my millions.
You do it so frequently that I have offset days when you don't do it. Because I'd be like, Keisha, okay, she ain't said God is King today.
Sometimes I catch it late at night. I'd be like, oh, it's 11:58. Oh, shit.
God is King.
Right. I throw that shit.
I admire you for being consistently positive in that manner, for real. Like, I respect that a lot. As somebody, like, I try to be positive every time I speak about, like, addiction and sobriety on that topic. And I try to make it a point to, like, oh, if we're going to discuss this, we're going to do a positive, we're going to uplift. Yeah. And I feel like you treat your career in that same way. I don't ever see you be cruel to yourself like I see a lot of comics be.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm not saying you don't. I've seen you judge a performance and be on a set like, man, that wasn't my best. Yeah, but you never take it to the personal level of, oh, that means I'm not funny. Right. Like you see some people do. You know what I mean? You always look at yourself in a positive light. And I love that about you as a person.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I will say for the people, like, I guess I can tell this now, it's about 3 years past and ain't a secret no more. Once upon a time, she was my roommate.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
I rented out a room year one in my comedy career from Keisha.
Yes.
I learned more about comedy in that 6 months than I did in the 4 years afterwards just from them conversations. Like, you a major influence.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent. You yeah. a major influence right on the things I do on stage. I don't know if you want to claim that, but.
The first show was booked at, was booked and paid on, was with Keisha Hunt.
Right on.
At Joke Joint.
At the Joke Joint. Man, I looked at that picture the other day. I'm like, I got to get in the gym. I'm the same size.
I'm the same size.
Me and you was the same size in that picture. I was like, me and Big Baby was the same size. I know he's like at least 5 inches taller than me.
Why we both got the same amount of X's?
We had the same shirt on and everything. I was like, man, sheesh.
That was a hell of a show.
It was great.
It was a long time ago. Comedy's come a long way from then.
From when I first started. I don't know. It's come a long way from when I first started.
How long you been in the game?
That's always a tricky question.
To where she was on stage in dresses.
Right. Well, that's an exaggeration of the truth.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I didn't wear dresses.
In the rainbow outfits. I seen them clips. Yeah. I seen them clips.
Well, I'm studded up, but no.
Yeah. Bro, real talk. I see your old clips. I'm like, man, fuck, Keisha was hot. Right. And so I'm like, wait, no, you're not supposed to be attractive.
I hear that. I mean, one thing I don't ever, that don't offend me, because if you are a straight man, you're attracted to women. Period. You know, it doesn't, you're going to see what you like in women. I'm a woman. As long as you don't go, well, Keisha, you know, since it's two of us, I'm like, being tripping.
Oh, no.
Put that thing up.
I don't think.
Ben, go put that up.
Like, I ain't never had enough ego to think I could change a lesbian's mind. You know what I'm saying? You got to be real sure of yourself as a man to be like, no, I know you don't like my
entire gender.
There are
some who are not that sure, but that brave.
That's the thing. I ain't trying to change your mind. I'm just trying to fuck up the decision tonight.
You the type of dude that be in a bedroom like, anybody can make a mistake.
There are some men who are just really brave and go, oh, you sure? I'm like, that's offensive.
Are you sure?
Like, that is offensive.
That's fucking harsh.
I'm like, that's offensive.
For you to be asking me.
That's offensive. Like, people will judge me on, okay, you're a stud, but you're not so masculine. I'm like, that's not, then don't call me a stud.
Yeah, the fuck?
Just, I'm another kind of woman, is it?
Yeah, like, I like women.
I like women. Get rid of them boxes. They're heavy anyway.
That's the most relatable thing about you to me, because, like, I get why you like women. I fucking like women.
And
that
I
makes complete
women.
Sense to me. Yes. Like, let's go fucking try to pick up some women.
Yeah, let's go get some.
We talked about all that shit. Yeah, like, we did. Yeah, no shit. But
yeah. Keisha been a big
honest to God. Like, I don't think I've ever felt discriminatory about somebody because of their sexual preference, but I do be judging short people. You know,
I judge short people. I'm 4'11".
It's just like,
I judge fat people.
Cause you're
me too.
I'm fat.
You're not fat. You're chunky.
I was fat.
You used to be fat. You don't slid
fat.
Out of.
I was
fat
obese.
Into, like,
man, listen. They'll call you obese if you're 20 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did they do when
they called him an obese? Like, he was the whole.
Dude, they put the D on me.
I got up to 5'10".
You got up to who many?
5'10".
Since I've known you?
No.
Oh. Like, I'm like, I did the eye thing. Like,
yeah, like,
since I've seen you in my life, you've been that big?
Oh. Nah.
You got up to 5'10"? Yeah. What did you do to get, I mean, do you want to, what happened? I never met anybody.
He ate the fuck.
Yeah. I was just eating. It was a bunch of shit going on.
Like, were you moving around? Like, you would eat and sit down and go to sleep or something?
Nah, it was just, I was running restaurants and I could do whatever I wanted to.
Man.
And I got married young, so, you know, I sailed it in. Like, fuck it, I don't need to be sexy.
5'10"?
Yeah.
How did you get up?
It was a lot of shit after another.
Did you help yourself getting up?
What you mean?
Like, right now, if you was 5'10 and had to sit there, who's going to help you up?
Oh, I got myself up. I could hoop and do all that shit.
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
At 5'10", I was hooping hard in the motherfucker.
Like, you say 5'10.
Full court?
Not full. Yeah.
He started saying not full.
My boys made me play full court point guard.
How the fuck does somebody draft a 5'10 point guard when they put like, together a team? I don't give a fuck what
do
are the three people on the court.
This?
No, I have footage of that because, you know, that was back when we had the little square Nokias. We was happy when we got the ones with color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was in them. And, you know, it was pixelated, you know. You know, those pictures don't even work on MySpace no more. That type of phone.
MySpace don't even work no more. Yeah, so,
you know, you can't.
It's just a music channel now.
That's it. So it was that far back in technology.
I need to go see my BlackPlanet.com profile still.
You know, it's a man that followed me on Facebook from Black Planet. I'm like, listen, he's my steel guy. Got this screenshot. Man. I got the picture from. I got your picture on my computer from Black Planet. I'm like, I do not.
Boy.
Look that's, like that.
This
no
is a
more.
Different life.
Wow.
But no, Black it's still Planet the same life, different Keisha.
I got catfished by a white woman on Black Planet too.
I got catfished by a bitch bigger than me.
Oh no.
I like bigger than me's.
She was like,
I like the bigger than me women.
Of course.
I do. I love the bigger than that's me. I like that term, bigger than me's.
The bigger than me's.
Everybody bigger than me though, so.
Yeah, that's why I say everybody bigger than you.
But she was 320.
Well, that ain't, yeah, I'm done with some 320s.
Well, you've been 5'10", so touche.
You ever been in a relationship where you came up to an elevator and had to do math before you got on that bitch?
Hell no. Yeah, I was married to the bitch, yeah.
You was married? How big was she?
She was about 320.
And you were 5'10"?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. What brand of bed did y'all have? Because that furniture company need a shout out right the
so,
fuck
you
now.
See what we doing right now? I dare not do this to you on stage on your show. but do you see what we're doing right now? Like, if I've never worked with you before, yeah. Do you think that's proper? Let's say we're all on the stage and I've never worked with you before, but you dab me up and I'm like, give it up for Big Baby Green. Let me hear him get off the stage and say something that I don't normally. I've just met you. Like, he ate up all the food before he came up here. Obviously, or something stupid like that.
I take none of all of that shit is fun to me.
Even if I just, this is my first time working with you.
I don't care.
Okay. Well, it depends on what kind of setting it's in.
Yeah.
Like, if we're at a comedy club, maybe not. If we, like, at a house party, yes.
Even at a car, I don't mind it. I don't mind none of the jokes. Well, if it's funny, I'm going to laugh.
Okay.
Point blank, period.
If it's not funny, you shoot back.
If it's not funny, even if it's funny or not funny, I'm going to shoot back. If it's not funny, it depends on how hard I shoot back. Now, if it's not funny, I'm ripping your head off. We finna laugh. You wanted to see her some laughs, we gonna laugh. Yeah. But if it is funny, I'm probably gonna hit you with an all right, you got one. Yeah. And I'm gonna let you go here to bake it. Yeah. But if we on stage and we kind of interchanging, if you got a pop, I want my pop too. It ain't gotta be bigger than yours.
No.
I just gonna make sure that they joking around, they friends type shit. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't never take nothing. Ain't never no malice in my heart with the roasting. It ain't never nothing personal. The shit just be like, how creative can this motherfucker be?
That's true.
Because I'm fat. I done heard every fat joke in the fucking book, bro. So it's like, when I hear a good one, I be like, hey, that was dope. That was dope. I like that. Yeah.
I have a weird double standard with it. Yeah. Because on the one hand, when somebody like pops off a joke on me when I get off stage, to me, it's like, this show is professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. We're here to entertain the crowd.
That's right.
If you hitting me with a chair entertains the crowd, that's your job to do so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you can offend me, I don't feel like I'm a comic
that's
anymore.
Right. That's right.
So like, yes, take all the shots, do whatever you think works, like it's your stage to do that. But the flip side for me is, I won't do it to another comic unless they just bombed.
Okay, right.
To me, that's my passcode. If you bomb in front of me, I'm going to light you the fuck up because the room almost demands. We have to acknowledge
you. You got
to
acknowledge that.
You can't pretend it didn't happen.
You also have to acknowledge if they go ham in front of your ass.
Yeah, too.
The inverse is true. How many times have I started my set with, hey, one more time for Keisha Hunt. She just murdered it because you
have
to.
You have to. It's the moment.
Whatever just happened, you have to say, hey, I saw it too.
Whatever just happened,
but now we going to do this.
You know who taught me that? I didn't know that early on, but you know who acknowledged the bomb? That's how he phrased it. It's Dave Lawson. I didn't have
shout
a
out
good
to the
set like I wanted to. He was like, hey, you got next time, if you feel that way, acknowledge that shit, because if you feeling it, they seeing it, and then you got to say something to the audience
and they gonna run with it.
And you they'll roast you better with a look than anybody saying something.
Man, and that's I don't mind none of the jokes. I don't even mind like the shit, like even when I'm hosting, like I'll pop comics when they come off.
Yeah.
But before the show starts, I let boys know, hey, when you come off and I go up, I'm going to pop you.
Yeah.
And that's just, if you ready for it or not. I read it to it with Mateen Stewart. He was out here from out of town. I told him he looked like Madea getting ready for a play. And he didn't know.
Yeah.
And he didn't know me. I didn't know him.
Yeah.
We was on a show. The show was going good.
Yeah.
The building was rocking. Energy going crazy.
Yeah.
popped his ass. Crowd was even stupider. Got off stage. He was just like, man, I didn't know you was finna do that to me. I was just like, oh, you from out of town. No malice, my boy. Yeah. I'm just, and Mateen's 6'4". He a good 6'4", 6'6".
Good Madea.
Yeah, exactly like him. Like, he built just like Tyler Perry. Oh, and I'm just like, nah, my boy, it's cool. Cause you know
she like, when big meets big.
Big beats the other side of big. Hold like, on, man.
Now, come down here, though.
To me, I'm also from, like, the Kobe Bryant school of, like,
yeah. Fuck
you get sharpened through hate. Like, yeah. I'm the make Kwame Brown cry during practice type. I wish somebody would come up to me and say I hurt their feelings with a joke.
Right.
Because now I'm going to start swinging for real.
Right. Like, because you shouldn't be doing comedy.
You aren't a comic if you're going to have this conversation with me.
Right.
If you have that, like.
Well, I'm still debating the ex, Big Baby. I mean, not Big Baby. It's not meant for me to say it. Sure. Right.
See, we do have a beep button if you say a name you don't mean to say.
Yeah, we got a lot of, we got some good editing too.
No, because then if I said his name, people would
no,
know.
No, I ain't trying to encourage you to say it. I'm just saying.
I was trying to find a way to say it without, okay, yeah.
You got a safety net if you say something you don't mean. That's all I was telling you.
I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
No, but.
Nah.
How about a description?
Okay, so.
Do you know Morse code?
So is he built nigga, like someone in the room now?
When that nigga come on stage, it be like.
No. Does he look like?
Oh. Well,
let's do that. Yeah.
I do want to go like the other cities and just sit in the crowd and not laugh. I don't care how hard the comic is. And just sit there like, oh like that's in the, because you know, comedians will focus in on that one motherfucker.
We just got to talking about that
that's
shit.
That's not laughing. We'll focus in, and I just want to sit there and let them focus in on me. And that's and like, let's say I'm be like, Big Baby, 10-4, you ready? Like, yeah. Sit you in the audience. Yeah. And they just, you don't laugh. And they don't know you finna pop their ass.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like especially if we feel like we need to dominate that city. Like, I think a bunch of Houston comics need to just go to Austin. And just sit in the audience and not laugh. and I mean, stare hard at they sit too and be like.
Mm-mm. Austin is a wild fairy tale place. I see boys on stage with the notebook open on a stool reading from the notebook and bombing. I'm like. Like, what is going on? It's 3 minutes, okay. My boy. Like, what's in the notebook?
It's how they start comedy. Like, to me, Houston, it's just ready.
We're a battleground. People come here
because
we don't have, and that's because we don't have clubs.
Right.
If we had clubs, I feel like we'll be just a little bit softer.
Or we'll be taking notebooks on stage because we have the luxury of people understanding that there's a beat between things, and this is how stand up practice goes.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm not getting paid, in most comedians' mind, it's okay if I bring.
Yeah, if you practice for free, it's okay. But I'm not wired that way.
As far as memorizing it,
I haven't seen nobody. It's rare.
I don't know anybody in Houston that do it.
Nobody in Houston does it.
If I see it, they're not from here. This is their second time getting on stage.
Nah. Yeah, or you're young enough to not know better is a different category to me. Because there's nobody tells you this shit. You just figure it out as you go.
That's right.
Yeah, I did shit in year one I'd never do now. And I feel that's. Bro, I just thought of something. We was talking about like seeing the person and not acknowledging it.
Okay.
Like not acknowledging the thing in the room.
Right.
You was there for the biggest one I've ever seen. Okay. So I'm going to tell you this story because she was there for this story. We went to El Paso to do Big Mike's room. Okay. I was featuring and she was headlining. And they had like 4 local comics go in front of us.
Yes.
And it wasn't no stage. It was just like 4 orange cones with a chain running cone to cone.
Like the VIP ropes?
Right. Just rope off a little square of the floor. And I'll never forget. I'm not going to say his name, but I remember it crystal clearly. Mm-hmm. The dude they had hosting from El Paso
was crippled. Oh, I remember this guy.
So every single time he introduced a comic, he got to walk up to this chain, physically lift his non-working leg over the rope, then lift his other leg over the rope. It's taking like a minute and a half for every comic change. And I got up there and I couldn't help myself. I started my set. I'm like, y'all got five fucking perfectly able-bodied comics working here and y'all got to make him fucking host? I ain't saying he shouldn't do time. I'm saying you making that dude climb back and forth over this chain 10 times and nobody's saying a motherfucking word about it. Like, this shit, like, this is fucking...
That's comedy to me,
yes,
bro.
That is.
That's comedy.
That's comedy.
I watched... Yeah. The second I saw it, the first time, I'm like, this can't be serious. And then I watched five comics not say a fucking word about it in front of me. And I'm just sitting there like...
They so focused on the stage. Like, oh my God, I got to remember my jokes.
I got it. How can you... Do you not see what the fuck's happening right in front of you?
Right, right.
I can't leave shit alone.
Not nothing like that.
I can't leave shit alone. Like, as I know, bro, if I'm sitting here and I see it, and I'm like, nigga, I know... I'm not the only one to see this.
Yeah.
Like, bro, he did that shit, right?
Yeah.
And then he get up and do it again. I'm like, nobody gonna say nothing.
Right.
Oh, let me get up there right now. Let's go. And it's a different feeling when you get to get off and you still got your shit in the bag left. You're like, oh, that's funny. Wait till this shit I pull out the bag.
You may not ever get to the bag. Sometimes I hardly ever, like. It's very rare I get to the bag. I'm like, well, but let me see.
See, crazy part is I'm motioning towards that in my comedy, mm-hmm. getting more to where I can in the living in the moment of the comedy rather than my bag, because my comedy was stale for a while. I was just bag,
yeah.
to where it was like, I say this. Yeah. And it's getting to the point, like at the improv, where I'm getting back out. But it's the growing pains of, like, where did I pull the inspiration from?
Right.
Like, in that moment, making sure that it's my thought, it's my original energy, it's my original thought and joke.
Yeah.
So, finessing back into that is, man, you can't ignore shit in the room that's happening.
Yeah.
And you missing out on free money when you do that, because that probably be the clip that go viral over anything.
Yeah. See, even the way you're thinking, like, you're thinking in terms of a clip going viral, but because of something you did on stage as a stand-up bit.
Yeah.
I have not got my thought process to this going viral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that I want this to be a great bit I did in front of a live audience.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I should have recorded.
It's been it's
a second thought when shit needs to be because of. You know
what time we in now?
Yes, but I told you, like, I really believe, like, that ain't gonna even matter till the virtual comics come. They gonna hit AI and be like, make a joke about a comedian in a wheelchair.
The trick is historically the hardest thing to program and adapt in machining languages and programming codes is humor. So
because
I genuinely
it involves feelings.
I genuinely think I won't put. On you, I'm saying for me, I don't think I will live long enough to see funny AI. I think that's gonna take so much.
That's a great show.
We're generations away from quantum machine adaptation to be able to do comedy. I genuinely think if I had kids, it would be their problem, but I don't ever think it will be mine.
It's
the same way AI can't do fingers yet. It doesn't know why it can't do fingers, but you see AI pictures, the hands is all fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
Like, the comedy gonna be fucked up for a while.
It can hardly do ears.
Yeah,
AI ears be looking like this.
Yep.
And there's so many directions. Like, let's also put our cards on the table.
Don't know words on shirts either.
As an industry, percentage-wise of input to export, it's one of the hardest industries to be financially successful at.
Okay.
The smallest margins of the people are. So putting the resources behind AI to make comedy isn't going to be driven, because those commerces are driven by money.
But and we're switching it to the social media AI.
It's all going to be one different brand of yourself. It's all.
That's right.
Everything you have right now.
It's still you.
Even separate apps.
It's the likeness of.
All your apps are talking to each other at this point.
Yep.
Your Instagram can post to your Facebook simultaneously, can post to your Twitter, to your TikTok.
Well, you can't be on them apps without giving it permission to do that.
Facts. And it's just.
It connects to your text messaging. So that's why somebody can Instagram you. And like sometimes I used, like when I first, my ex, when she first sent me her number, she sent it through Instagram. So we went through something. I blocked her on Instagram. So I was trying to I restricted her on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I tried to block her on the phone. It wouldn't let me block her on the phone for some kind of reason. It was still connected to Damn. The Instagram. I never, like, she sent me her number through Instagram. So I talked to a writer too. Like, even when we're passing ideas through the Instagram message, Instagram owns that. They own, if you put a whole movie idea to somebody, they can take, they can very well, you can make that whole movie, big studio production, but they can very well get a cut if you sent the idea of, and you work that idea into a movie, if you sent that shit on Instagram.
Wow. Did not know that shit.
Yes. No, there's a ton of things you accept.
They own your pictures you post. That's why I believe you shouldn't post your children. Not on Instagram. They own that shit. And now with AI, they can manipulate any photo that they want to because they own it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and your text
and
messages.
Your likeness and all that shit.
It seems complicated as fuck to have kids. That's why I can't.
It is.
It.
Yeah.
It's just so much shit. You can't even fathom the dangers that people are creating in labs right now to have to parent around.
See, I'm glad you said that because I've been thinking about it. Through stem cell research, I'll be able to produce semen in about 20 years.
It's more like 4 minutes.
No, for real. Like, out of my vagina. I might got a little longer left. But, but like, out of this vagina, I'm just thinking about if that had been real in my 20s. I'd be a deadbeat mama, I tell you that.
I can tell you the very first day you have
that
power.
At least three of them kids ain't mine.
Yeah. That'd be a hell of an experience to be deadbeat.
You know that ain't mine.
You going to turn full Lil Jon first day you got that power.
What?
Ah, ski, 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 ski.
Now,
busting out the clit, that's crazy.
But
busting out the clit?
That's crazy.
Why that sound like an album name?
Oh, you see me in my hand? Because I'm like, damn, that's a great comedy album title. And
yeah,
I'm like,
it is.
I
ain't going to never use it.
we ineligible to use that one. That's all you, fam. That's all you. You take busting out the clip with you.
Still a title named by. You still get your credits, mate. Busting out the clip.
Busting out the clip.
Ding.
That's that the type of night.
Give me.
I really need.
That's
you.
The title of my volume two. Little Big Problems. Busting out the clip.
Busting out the clip. There it is. That's gonna get
a
bunch of clips.
Whole ass bit for you. Just busting out the clip.
Busting out the clip.
Especially when you do that in 20 years, I'm gonna be able to start making semen.
Yeah, you know that ain't my goddamn baby.
Busting out the clip, man. It ain't mine. So it ain't funny. Mine.
Right on. We all thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in there.
Bussing out
the clip.
I just picture you standing over some poor chick's face.
That is hilarious. Because it still works the same.
Sure. Yeah, same way.
I'm just to let you know. Plumbing just take a little bit more guiding. You use yours. I use mine. I just got my skin. Like, go this way.
But I can tiny little scope
good.
On it.
I can
little
I can
laser sight.
Yeah.
I stand up.
I've seen two women bump coochies while I watched, and
it's
I was like,
"It's not called bumping coochies."
That's what I call it.
He watched it. They might have been
bumping coochies.
What is it called? Scissoring.
That could be a term for it, but it's called having sex.
I call it hunching.
It's not hunching. Listen,
in fairness, in fairness to him, when he have sex with a woman, he'd be like, yeah, just bump some coochie.
So let me tell you, you probably giving a woman one orgasm then with this.
You giving him one 2 minute credit. But continue.
he even said who?
Y'all got me fucked up to begin.
So anyway, you probably just giving y'all
one.
One.
Shit. Okay.
So, but the multiple.
I got to defend him. He ain't built like a dude that can only give one orgasm.
Well, if
we can't get
you know
away with that shit.
You're kind of heavy guy. I would honestly like use my stomach too. Like I would use my stomach to like rub against her clit while I'm penetrating her.
See, and that's the thing. I wouldn't use my stomach. I don't know
how to be a man,
but,
so I'm just making shit
up. Yeah,
I've
seen it. Like, it's some AI shit right here.
Or now, when I used to use, I don't use them anymore, but when I used to use a dildo, the one that come with the balls, I would turn it upside down.
Yeah, with the, ball, so yeah. The balls. I'd do positions like that while the balls definitely slapping the clit. It's some fold them up, you know, on the side.
Roll them.
You fold a bitch on the side, right? You put that leg right here, right? On your knees.
Wait, she's facing you.
No, she's on her side. She's facing the wall. Or she's facing this way.
Wait a minute. Wait. Y'all are facing each other?
I'm on top of her.
It's like 69.
It's like missionary.
Okay.
But she's sideways.
Okay.
All right. Put that one leg right here.
Okay.
That top leg right here.
Oh, I know this move.
And then come up.
Interesting.
And drop. Nigga, I play football. I'm athletic. I can hold some shit.
Big and baby.
And them balls slapping the clip.
Cat Williams.
Fuck.
Say it as it's so. Yeah, so what you got to do is some skinny man shit. First, my belly does not exist, so I take a leg. So nigga, you, what?
Man, nigga, my stomach go all the way in. Nigga, you see how far this go in, nigga?
I do see how far that go in. And
your stomach went all the way in.
It went all the way in.
I think y'all don't really want to picture how big my dick is.
I don't. I don't. Anytime men have this big dick conversation, I'd be like, I'm going to buy one just for this conversation. I'd be like, your dick ain't bigger than mine. Now one of them. I don't care which one you choose.
Like we at K's trunk, man.
what that nigga say he had? Eight and a half? Let me see.
You go to cricket, nigga.
But let me tell you, some of them little toys should be doing the trick on the man. I'd be like, I'm tired. You do the work.
I don't mind tag teaming a bitch with a toy. I don't care.
Yeah. I want all of the allies for this fight. Man. I can
damn right.
I summon everybody. Give me Agent Orange out the closet, bitch. Come on. Right. Where your batteries at? Let's put Agent some fresh ones in there. I'm finna fuck you. Me and Agent Orange finna fuck you.
I got a nigga.
That was the name of one of your ex's toys.
Yeah. Then I had like the little orange and white swirl down it.
Man, I tried to hide my ex toy. She said, bitch, what the fuck is it? I'm like, what are you talking about? Keisha, quit playing with me. I'm like, I'll just eat your pussy. And then afterwards, I'm like,
bruh, there was one. But I've only judged one person for their sex toy. I wouldn't even fuck this shit. I just left.
Yeah.
So we make it to her house. We get to her room. There's a dildo on the couch. I don't give a fuck about a dildo.
Right.
But it looked like a real dick. Unprompted, she says, they have this thing, you know, you can take a mold of somebody's dick and they'll make you a dildo mm-hmm. that looks like it exactly. Because that's my ex. I just love Shout how he fucks Shirley. Me. You're not going to sit here and fuck yourself with your ex-boyfriend's artificial, like, replica dick.
That's crazy.
And be with me at the same time. You need to get the fuck over him.
I need to go do my pussy like
that. She should have told a story. That's what she shouldn't have
She should have just left that shit a mystery for. I didn't ask. I know better than to ask women questions in their bedroom.
Feel weird touching it, using it on her now. You'd be like, ugh, this nigga dick in my hand.
This feels exactly too much like a dick in my hand. This is
why I gotta be Agent Orange.
This is one step.
That's why I gotta be that little alien antenna thing.
Yeah, dude. Exactly what hers look like. It's just a yeah. It's got it look like this. It look like this. With a little hook at the top. It's not really big. The bulb of it. It just look like this. And then you turn it on and then it do this.
Do that little shit there.
Bro.
Oh my god.
I tag that nigga in every time I get.
Agent Orange, go to work. What if that nigga hit you back? You betcha.
Bro, I was with one woman who needed two toys, a vibrator, and me to have an orgasm. Like, I'm literally.
Damn.
I'm like, I can't multitask like this. There's much shit going on for my autism.
I couldn't fuck with that. Even an autistic motherfucker, you know?
No.
I looked at her. I was like. I straight up told this woman, bro. I'm like, you don't even really need me here for this.
Okay, never mind.
This is nuts.
I was going to take that out, too. I had to chill. I was going to go there, too. You're going to have to blur out what I said at first.
We don't want no problems.
We're going to have to make some donations to charity after this episode.
Something on the spectrum.
Yeah, I sure said
it. Man, they got a whole show called Dating on the Spectrum, so.
Yeah, you know, they're doing they better than I'm doing, bro.
They know people are made fun of.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that shit is
I'm just like, trying different shit now on dating websites. Like, I've given up, like, trying to sell myself properly to women. Now my dating profile is just my five saddest pictures and, like, that Sarah McLachlan song in the background.
Like, he turns it into my space.
I just turned myself into one of them stray puppies on the ASPCA commercials. Like, did you know for just $1.23 a day, you can rescue a comic?
That shit like
that
a
is
video
hilarious.
I'm hoping
a
it might, like, at this point,
You need to build a website called Rescue a Comic. Any comedian has not dated in a year, please.
Sign please, up. We need support.
Everybody in the
we're
line.
We're hungry and sad.
Al Freeman, get out of the line. I just want to see if these motherfuckers want to date me. Get your ass out the line.
That's all I will say about Aldi Vreeman. I love him.
Listen
all
to me,
geeks.
Hunts, and let me tell you something.
Fucking
Ben Daniels. No, it's no S on the end. Ben Daniels.
Bro, one time.
I got this amazing show with, let me tell you something. I am Al Freeman. I've been in the business 42. But he is established, though. He's not lying about nothing.
He is.
You know, I don't exaggerate very often.
Right.
When I say, if I had a dollar for every time Al Freeman has sent fat black women porn to my inbox.
Oh, shit. Oh my God, that's an old nigga.
You like that fat black pussy, don't you?
No, I ain't asked for the shit. Mouth. I keep every time he send it, I'm like, why the fuck do you send me this shit? He just don't answer.
Because he's not supposed to be.
Bro, one time he booked me on this gig. He ain't tell me shit about the gig. I walk in the door. It's entirely black cocaine recovery center.
Oh, I've done that show.
Yeah, I'm like, you ain't want it.
Several times. How far along were you in your career? I was 7 years in.
I'm coming up on 5.
Yeah, that's three to seven is when I
don't book me.
I was
it was coffee did, drinking all night long.
I
like
did
black
great
coffee.
There, but I just went up to him after. I'm like, you ain't want to mention any of this when you booked me for the shit. Yeah, you couldn't even have like
Al
dropped
Freeman.
A word.
Yeah, nah. Al D. Freeman, ever since I cooked him for booking me and Cornelius on the weekend, call it the Fat Boy Weekend, put it on the flyer on the wall and everything. And I got on stage and flamed his ass so goddamn hard with them big ass Astro shoes with his name on them. And Scarface was in the crowd. And when I said I tore his ass off the boat, Al D did not call me. Al D saw me the next night. He was like, you lucky you not Cornelius.
What does that mean? I need to.
I mean, that's a generally true statement.
So, oh, man, the life of comedians, boy.
Man.
I know y'all roast me when I'm. Tell me something. Tell me some of the stuff y'all say.
I don't know if I've said it in front of you, but my favorite thing I've ever said is that you look like you came out of Build-A-Stud Workshop.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
I was like, I think I said that in front of you.
You told me that Build-A-Stud.
I ain't never roasted you, Key, at all. Like, I ain't never had to, like.
Ben had to really encourage me to do it that one time.
Yeah.
He was like, listen, just get that notch on your back. I said, I don't roast. I'm too. I could take the jokes, but I'd be like, that was good.
Yeah. That's what you just gotta do, bro. You gotta respect the craftsmanship. It's like rap battle, like battle rap. Them boys shake hands after everyone.
They actually being funny in battle rap.
Yeah, and he like, I fucked your daughter and then killed your baby mama. And
interesting.
Then went to your mama house and ate her leftovers, and then niggas shake hands and hug at the end. And I'd be like, it's just, they just appreciate
the
pen.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Bro, it's so another form of
I told a grown man,
in my opinion,
you better not get too attached to your feet. And then he shook my hand 30 seconds
got
later.
Got on J-Rock ass, man.
J-Rock.
Yeah, got his ass.
Right on.
Lit his ass off the bone. He was like, this nigga stopped using you look like jokes. That nigga say, your teeth so fucked up, you got to eat pussy through a straw.
He was doing street jokes just like that, out of format, quiet. And the crowd was just like, mmm.
I was like, damn,
you
Jay.
Like, there's still a few you look like. Like, okay, so there used to be this show on HBO when I was a teenager called Snaps.
I remember that.
And I'll never forget. What made me watch it was Alex Thomas. And Alex Thomas, I'll never forget what he said, because I still be like, you want to hear your mama joke? And I tell his joke. And he was, at the time, you know, we had phones that had cords. And he said, told somebody, your mama's so dumb, she stuck a phone card up her butt waiting for a booty call.
that's
what made
funny.
Me remember the show. He said, your mama's so dumb, and everybody says this one. They even put it in a Snaps. It was a snap. It was a book for teenagers.
Yeah.
It had all the snaps from the show, and you could go, yeah,
your mama's, you know? Yeah. And it was, your mama's so dumb, she put lipstick on top of her head trying to make up her mind.
Yeah, that was, man.
Them two come from Alex Thomas.
You know, funny as shit.
What movie was he in, Baps, where he was on the records going, ha, like with Ice, was that? No. That was a movie with Ice Cube. Players Club.
Yeah, it was Players Club.
Yeah. That little guy that was in there.
He was in there with Cube.
Talking about Luke, he was the one that made me watch it, and then now they show a lot of clips on social media.
See, I remember like, the Yo Mama days with Wilma Valderrama and all that shit. Yeah, I remember I didn't like the show, but I understood the show. It was like, all right, this is something I can watch. Because I used to roast the school all the time. We didn't talk about nobody mama, because that's fighting where I'm from.
Yeah.
That top. You talk about me. I'm here. Don't talk about my sister, none of that shit. Once you talk about
family,
that's
why I couldn't
people,
do it, because I didn't know who not to talk about.
Yeah.
And I had too many like things going on in my family. Like my mom wasn't there.
Yeah.
My uncle was paralyzed from the neck down. Real. My aunt was mentally challenged and handicapped. My other cousin with cockeyed. I'm like, they finna fuck me up.
To the party.
I'm about to fight everybody. Yo, Annie, don't talk about my Annie. she mentally challenged and handicapped, bitch. Like, I'm like, yeah, she's both of them.
Man, she ain't never had to look for a parking spot, has she?
She didn't even know, too. Like, she, listen, I said, Aunt, she said she had the mind. My mom said she has the mind of a 7-year-old, 8-year-old. I said, how far can you count? She said, to 100. I said, oh, let me hear that. That sounds impressive. You know, I thought that was impressive. And you know how kids, when they're at that last number, when they're at that number right before the last one, they sing it.
Yeah.
Like 9, 10.
Yeah.
Right? So I knew she was coming to a close because she sung the number right before the last one. 47, 48, 49, 100. I was like, no. No, but I ain't finished. No, you didn't. I didn't get that. I said, no. How many more? I go 51. You got, you missed. It's okay though. But I knew what you meant. You know,
you actually missed more numbers than you got. But we're not even.
She said, "Fuck." I knew she was done. I'm like, I know she. Well, we're just gonna go with it. In your mind, it's okay.
High five. High five.
But when I was 10, I told y'all I'm working on this bit on stage. I called. This is a true story. I called her having sex in the backyard.
Oh God, I can't.
I'm working on
it. It hurts my lungs to laugh at this joke.
Okay, I'm listening.
I love this bit of yours
so much. It's the truth. I was
nothing
in the
hangs in my head more than your voice doing this joke. Like,
I ain't gonna do it on here, but but I think you seen me do it where I talk about my mentally challenged aunt having sex in the backyard.
No, never.
Okay,
heard.
So this is a true story, and we teased her like, so it's like 13 kids in this house growing up, and so she would. Like, there's windows all around the kitchen, but she would leave all the windows up in the daytime and have the light on. So we would turn, she mentally challenged.
Yeah.
So she got to have that light on, even though you can't even tell if the light's
on.
Even on, you know? And so we would hit the light and go, oh, Leroy. Because that's the noise she was making when she was having sex.
Oh, Leroy.
Oh, and then he was like, when I saw him, he was like, jabbing the fuck out of her. Her tone never changed. I watched it. Not because it was sex. I was like, what is this? And it never changed. And like, I kept, because I was trying to remember to go tell somebody. So I kept going, oh, Leroy. Like, I kept repeating what she was saying. And I'm like, let me try to keep this so I can go tell my brother this so we can make, like, we can have something to laugh at. And I'm walking in the house, oh, Leroy. Oh, Leroy. My sister said, what you say? I said, oh, Leroy. And just, I could not get that shit. And so it became a thing. Every time my aunt would walk by, we would always go, oh, Leroy. We would do that. Y'all better leave me the fuck alone. Oh, Leroy. That's how we teased my mentally challenged aunt. Like, we bullied her, I guess. Oh, Leroy. Y'all better, I'm going to tell your mom, come get y'all. Oh, Leroy. We just never stopped.
Look, I ain't never told nobody this story before. I don't know what relation he is to me. It's my grandmother's brother.
That's your uncle.
No, my mom's brother.
That's
would be
your
my
great uncle.
Great uncle. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's the one word I'm like. My great uncle Bruce.
Okay.
I had Down syndrome.
Okay.
He lived to be like 73. He's one of the oldest living people in Texas before
that
he died.
Down
that
syndrome.
Had Down syndrome, like,
oh,
ever.
Wow. He needed
but
a statue.
He wasn't, he was what I would describe as teachable.
Okay.
You could teach him something. He didn't know why he was doing them, but yeah, you could teach him shit.
He said that like, you ain't gonna believe the shit we told him.
We was an 8-year-old kid. Me and my cousin got an 8-year old, we're 8-year old kids.
Right.
And we got this grown man we can make say anything.
Right. So we,
so we spent the day teaching him how to put up the finger. All you heard in that bedroom the whole day, "Bruh, yeah, bruh, yeah." Bro, so we teach him that shit and we think, oh, it's all good. It's hilarious. So we leave my grandmother's house. We come back the next day.
He done told his mom.
We gonna all go to lunch at Luby's in Galveston.
Okay.
Because at the time, like, that was our big Sunday thing. We'd get dressed up. My grandma.
Luby's still a big Sunday thing.
Yeah, we'd get up dressed up after church. So, like, the Luby's is not in the nicest part of Galveston.
Okay.
It's summer. We in a car with no AC. We got the windows rolled down. There's a gang of like teenagers just on the corner, like, oh, no, drinking and smoking. Look like a movie and shit. Mm. All of a sudden, Brucey in the back. Fuck you! Hey, you, fuck you! My mom looked back, sees them people. They start coming towards the car.
Oh, shit.
We're speeding down Broadway with literally a retarded man hanging half out the car screaming, fuck you, all the way down Broadway. Almost got fucking killed, bro.
He knew what he was doing.
Oh, 1,000.
He knew what he was doing, man.
Oh, I got one more Bruce story. Like, for the longest time, the only things
Bruce,
the only thing, like, he collected baseball cards.
Oh, shit.
Like, from the time he was a little kid, he loved baseball cards. He spent hours in his room with his baseball cards. So some of the less kind members of my family, when he passed away, were immediately like, oh, shit.
Giving him cards.
He said, let me go find Bruce's cards in the attic.
Oh, that's crazy. So, I was probably hunting the hell out there.
Oh, no, we knew exactly where the shit was. So we make them all go to my grandparents' house. We all go up to the attic. Because we're going to divide this shit up fairly. Try to keep the peace in the family. We opened the very first plastic storage bin.
Oh, wow.
Of what is probably 50 big plastic storage of baseball cards.
Dang.
And every single one of them, every single card, he's taken. And he's very carefully wrapped every single inch of it in duct tape.
Oh, wow.
He has destroyed every single fucking card. And watching the look on those people's faces when they realized they weren't going to be able to make a dime off of him, I laughed so fucking hard.
He was pretty smart.
He put them all in duct tape.
He's pretty smart.
I could hear him laughing from the afterlife. It was so fucking funny.
That's pretty damn smart. Nobody's getting this
Nobody's
shit.
Getting his shit.
I'm like, did he look at it and go, that was nice?
For not decades. To keep you safe.
Oh my goodness. And the glue part on the face. So soon as you pull that shit off.
Just a big silver square. Can't see shit.
That is
That's
hilarious.
Fucking crazy as shit.
That is like too, like he is smart. And for my last act. That is insane.
Watch this. That's crazy as hell how they did that though.
It's so wild, bro.
That's crazy.
Stop laughing.
Man, did they taste? I don't know if y'all know. How long y'all been doing comedy?
I'm coming up on 5 years in May.
This year is 7 for me.
So y'all don't know this comedian named Al Rhodes. Alfred Rhodes. So before he passed away.
Oh, Allager Rhodes.
No, Al Rhodes.
Oh, I just said
Alfred. I said Alfred. Before he passed away, this we're like Blame the Comic, Derek Keener, Nephew Tommy, all of these comedians who life he has impacted or vice versa. It's at the weight, you know?
Yeah.
And we're sitting there and this lady taps me on the shoulder. You're Alfred's friend. I said, yeah, we do comedy together.
Yeah.
And she says, you have a son. I say, yes, I have a son. At the time, my son was only like 4. She says, yeah, Alfred told me so much about him. I said, yeah, Alfred, that was my buddy, man. Like me and you were friends, Ben. She says, yeah, Alfred said you made him so happy when you made him a father. I said, come again.
What?
I said, come again. I've never even like hugged this dude. She said, no, that's not how he explained it. She tapped somebody. Didn't I ever say that was his fiance? I said, fiance? Blame. Ma'am. All the comics Ma'am. That were sitting on the row said, like that. And Blame was like, Keisha, did Alfred, you can't even get this nigga back.
Like, that nigga gone.
He gone. He won. I was up. Around. Like, that's the one time I couldn't take a joke.
Yeah.
Because I can't get him back. So we leave. I was mad. I said, excuse me. And I get up and I'm walking out. Every comedian that's there is following me outside to laugh at me. They like, that nigga got one on you quick. They ain't even got his casket open. You can't even look at, you can't, God, like, he left here going, gotcha, bitch. Like,
God damn.
Like, blame, every time blame, see me, he goes, remember that time Alfred got that one up? Mm. And I'm like, man, fuck you. Blame.
God damn.
I didn't even, they, the next day, people were calling me, why aren't you at Alfred's funeral? I'm like, didn't need to go.
Yeah.
I was like, the hell? I don't bro. Why would you do that?
Riding the big car.
That's
shit.
Hilarious.
That is hilarious. I don't that's know funny. How to tell that on stage, but amongst comedians.
Amongst comedians, that's so pure. Speaking of telling something, I don't think you've ever told this on stage, but okay. You did tell it on my podcast.
Okay.
And like, I want whoever listens to this podcast to hear the story. Would you please indulge me and tell Big Baby Green the turtle tub story?
Oh, man. So I was dating this other comic. And she, I mean, she's not a looker. She's like, mm-hmm. She's not the most beautiful. She's not unattractive. I'm not sure.
You want to hit it?
Not ever again.
No, I'm just talking about just in.
Yeah, I was going to do things. It was right after the pandemic. Had to get back out there.
Yeah.
And so, but it wound up being a good thing. It started off as just like, hey, we just going to be like fucking, okay?
Yeah.
And then I started spending time with her and I was like, oh, she's intelligent. Oh, she knows how to make money.
Yeah.
Teach me, you know?
Yeah, right.
And so we became friends, and then, like, that was easy to do, be a friend with somebody who I'm also intimate with, and I could learn something about them. And I didn't even see her face anymore. I started seeing...
just who she was.
Yeah, who she is. And so, but it flipped, you know. But anyway, so I'm at her house, and I'm like, I'm tired of taking showers. I want to sit down and take a... because we damn near was living together. I said, I need to take a bath. Well, you could use the turtle tub. I'm like, those are snapping. I'm scared to touch them. So I say, but let me just use your tub. But she was supremely spiritual and was like, nah, you can't take a bath in my tub. But if you really want to take a bath, you have to use the turtle tub. And I'm like, well, come get these turtles out of here. I'm scared to touch them. That's what she would say. She would throw the food in there and like, that was it.
Wow. What the fuck?
I did it. I took a shot in the dark.
And there's like an extra restroom with turtles in the tub, literally living in water.
Mm-hmm.
That she's like, are these big turtles?
They have a tank too.
They're actual snapping turtles or they're red ear slider turtles?
They got the red dot on the side?
Yeah.
Yep.
Those motherfuckers get kind of big. I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yep. I've had a couple of those.
Okay.
Why are you randomly a turtle expert, bro? You took one hilarious. Descriptive term and you're like, oh, that must be a red-jawed fucking... What in the actual reptile?
I have no idea. A turtle's people, a turtle.
Because I lived a life where I
There's
was
two
a,
types of turtles. Regular and ninja.
I'm like, so you date
No,
turtle,
I was married. I had children. And I've raised children, and I was a father who likes animals. I've had guinea pigs, iguanas.
Those are
okay. I've had snakes. I've had dogs.
Black people with guinea pigs, hilarious.
Yeah, funny as hell. Funny as hell, especially when one just drop a baby in the middle of the night. You just like
in our mind, that's a rat.
That's a fucking rat with no tail.
You gonna bring a rat up in here after all the shit I went through in my childhood?
When my son saw the motherfucker and was
they
like,
love him.
"Daddy." I want this one fluffy motherfucker here. And he came home with the report card, and I was like, fuck, I gotta go get it.
Pinky in the brain.
And he pulled his side of the deal. I gotta go get this goddamn thing. It's $35 for the guinea pig, but $286 for every fucking thing else that came with it.
The wheel and all that.
Wait the wheel, the big area plate pin
like
and shit.
Too, right?
And then they like, well, you can't just buy one. They're social animals. Da da da. They're crying. They start. Did the womp 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 noise and shit.
That's crying?
Yeah, like the wee, 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 like that shit. When they overly do that, it's crying. So I'm like,
aww.
Okay, like, bro.
I just learned something about guinea pig sadness. I didn't need to know shit.
Right. See? And I'm like, comedians that get sad for anything. Oh, the guinea pigs get sad when we bomb.
You bomb so hard, service animals felt it.
Yeah, I had to be working at 4 o'clock in the morning every morning. I was not dealing with that noise. So I bought two.
Yeah.
Put them in a corner in the crib, let them take care of them, and then all of a sudden I got tired of them. One had a baby, we sold them, and then we ended up with snakes and iguanas. And
shit.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
We just ended on a very Animal Planet-esque note, but we just ran up on an hour, y'all.
Hey, this was great.
That was hilarious.
That was dope.
That was great. Y'all want to do a proper ending? So you can
You have any social media you would like to promote.
Yeah, I'm always on Facebook, Keisha Hunt, comedian Keisha Hunt, Threads, X, a.k.a. Twitter, at Keisha Hunt, and, of course, Instagram, at Keisha Hunt. I could do my email, too, but...
Keisha Hunt.
Book Keisha Hunt.
Book Keisha Hunt.
@gmail.
At Gmail, book. Keisha Hunt,
Gmail. I pulled that. And shout out, I would have worn your hoodie in solidarity, but I wore your hoodie on You Look Like Friday night, so awesome. It's still in the wash. But yeah. I want you to know, like, it's getting support. I appreciate you making a hoodie that goes with any pair of shoes.
Right, man. The shoes,
it's very convenient.
I remember we kind of talked about wardrobe on the couch during the pandemic or something.
The reason I stopped wearing miscellaneous shit and shifted to the hoodie and shoes.
Like, I'm like, you keep some dope shoes. You was on the mission to, I was like, you got it now. You got to keep up. Hey, and you do, my guy. You do keep some nice ones on your feet and a nice hoodie too.
I don't need to win. You know, I ain't got to have the flyest shit in the room. I just need to not be able to be ripped on for that.
Right.
I need people to have to go away from the easiest, most obvious thing to the secondary thing. Because, like, I don't want you to just be able to not work for it and tag me. I'm like, oh, look at that white boy and them busted, dirty-ass New Balance. Nuh-uh.
Right.
You're going to have to go a little harder than that.
Yeah, because that shoe game, stay clean.
I do regret the hoodie decision from, like, April to November.
Oh, right.
In
right.
Texas. Like,
they make T-shirt hoodies if you're with that.
It's like, it's dumb too, because I wear hoodies, but I always roll the sleeves up, so I don't really need the sleeve portion of them. But it's like buying short sleeve hoodies. It's going to take some adaptation for me to find something lightweight and comfortable, but it's like, I still need this place for my hand. That ain't changed.
Well, I graduated from a whole female too.
Yo.
So you can get it.
I've seen several iterations of your onstage persona.
I used to come on stage with workout gear when I first started.
I remember you back in Chad when you was just like denim jacket over denim pants with bandana, Keisha.
I still do the bandana, but now it's like, let me just, I feel like we go through transitions, like growth spurts. And so when you do that, your idea of who you are, you know who you are, but it's just a new part of you. It's a new skin.
It's a new switch. Yeah. Like, this is my fourth life.
Bro.
Like you just said that at the top of the show. Like, you said, I'm just now coming out of it. And I'm like, yeah, he had a transition. He about to power up.
He's about to, yeah. And when you, because every comic goes through the point where I say metaphor to comedy, the comedy journey. Like, you get to a point where you just bitching and moaning.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, you're uncomfortable.
You're not gonna get to that point. I don't think I've gotten to that point. I don't want to.
I've done it. I've got to a point where the room I was in was pissing me off. Yeah. I was just like, oh, I'm sick of this shit. I'm tired of being under this thumb. And then it kind of, you have to understand why. And once you get to a point where you figure out the why, everything is going. Yeah. Oh shit. Okay, cool.
Like, that's the one good thing about being a junkie. Mm-hmm. And let me explain that to you.
Yeah, please do.
From the very first time I've ever touched a stage and heard that first laugh and felt it to the night before last, I have never once performed without gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I know that because to me, this is a drug. And I've never taken a hit that I wasn't grateful for.
Right.
I'm always happy getting some form of high. And this is even the shittiest four-person Wednesday night, middle-of-the-week shows that nobody's paying attention to in the bars. It might not be the purest form of the drug.
Yeah.
It's still a little drug, though, you know?
So what's the drug, though? So, like,
the laughter, man.
Is it? Well, it's adrenaline. It's the laughter, but it's always the challenge first.
Yeah, it's the
challenge to me is the drug. Like, I know it's, I'm not like, I'm never not like, I wonder if, you know, yeah. Like, I'm like, if they will laugh at this.
Yeah. Right.
If not, I got this.
Yeah.
Let's see. So it's always the challenge. Like, oh, they that did shit. It. They laughed at it.
That shit. Yeah, I like that shit too.
My drug for me is the validation.
Yeah.
Because okay. I go home at the end of the okay. night, and this is what I told myself for like the first year of it while I was still trying to come and be sober and be like a decent person while yeah. I was coming into this.
Yeah.
I may be a piece of shit, but I made happiness tonight.
Yeah.
And like, that's the drug for me. It's like, no matter what else is reflective of me, I at least balance that a little bit. What I put good into the universe tonight, and that's the fix for me. But
you just made me think about something. What if we got God all wrong? What if God is judging on everybody? Was you are yourself. Come in. But yeah. I killed 3 people. Were you true to yourself?
Yeah.
You know?
Were you original?
Did you ask for forgiveness? Come on in. You know? Come on in, like, what if he's just judging you on if you were yourself or not?
Yeah,
like hope,
fuck the kindness, all of that shit. Did, were you mean? But was it you?
Right? I want it to be like a super random interpretation where you get up there and it's like, all these things you thought were sins are forgiven, except I told y'all bitches no fish on Fridays. I was very clear about like
it was just one sausage link.
<And shit. laughs> Alright, y'all, we coming up on time. Thank you for coming and doing
thanks
this
for having
tonight.
Me,
I had a blast. Big Baby Green, thank you for coming
sure,
in.
Sure,
shout out to Will Loden coming back from Arkansas. Jay O'Neill producing. Y'all have a good night, everybody.